Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I want to let you know today's program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And among them, I want to thank Tasha, and I will send access to our premium site as I do with all donations of $7 or more. And you can support the show at support.greatdetectives.net. But now it's time for today's episode of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, The Shepherd Matter, Parts 3 and 4.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Miss Streeter at Dr. Shepherd's office.
Yes?
Dr. Shepherd gave me your hotel number. He said you were to come in for a head x-ray.
Let me talk to the doctor about that.
Well, he's out on house calls right now, Mr. Dollar. He'll be back late this afternoon. He seemed very concerned over
you. He ought to be. A friend of his banged me on the head with a gun this morning. That's why the x-ray.
Well, could you possibly come in and have it made? Doctor was most insistent.
All right, Miss Streeter, I'll be right over.
Tonight, and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Richard Porter, 480 Webster Boulevard, Providence, Rhode Island. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Shepherd matter. Expense account item 4, $1, cab fare from my hotel to Richard Porter's office. Porter was sympathetic.
You know, I feel very responsible for this, Mr. Dollar. I hired you to look into all
this. Oh, it'll go away, it'll go away. I've been hit on the head before. Hey, do you have anything to drink in here?
Oh, sure, sure. You never can tell when a snake will come up and bite you.
Yeah,
here you are.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
I suppose you came in to give me your expense sheet now that it's all settled.
Not exactly, Mr. Porter. It isn't settled for me.
Certainly you know I'll assume any medical expenses involved here.
That no, I'm not talking about that, Mr. Porter. Sit down. Now, look, there's something going on here, and we might as well have it out. You hired me to investigate a client who wanted to buy $80,000 worth of straight life insurance, right?
Yes.
Now, that client explained why he called for that insurance. Not to my satisfaction, but he explained it. He said a man named Paul Forbes had threatened his life. Threatened it because Dr. Shepherd had advised Forbes' wife to get a divorce.
Well, I know you didn't believe this, but the facts now seem to bear it out.
I went over to see Forbes this morning to talk to him about his threats. I managed to get my name out, and Forbes attacked me, so I got this. Then Forbes ran out. Mrs. Forbes and a servant in the house gave me first aid. All the time they were doing it, they were apologizing for Forbes and his violence. Finally, Dr. Shepherd came in, called the police, and told them to pick up Forbes.
And the police will pick him up if they haven't already, and Dr. Shepherd will prefer charges...
And that won't be that, Mr. Porter. Not as far as I'm concerned. Dr. Shepherd's story is still leaky.
I'm sorry, but I think it has more credence than ever in view of what's happened. You told me yourself his wife and the servant admitted Forbes had threatened Dr. Shepherd's life.
Oh, I believe that part. But Shepherd lies so much, you can get to believing him.
What lies, for heaven's sake?
Oh, for one thing, his reason for not calling the police right away. I mean about how delicate Mrs. Forbes' condition was. She looked pretty healthy to me this morning. Another thing, he described Forbes as a man with homicidal tendencies. Now, Dr. Shepherd's supposed to be an expert on behavior. And he thought that if I talked to Forbes, I might settle the matter peaceably. But Forbes attacked me as soon as I told him my name. I didn't get a chance to talk.
Well, Dr. Shepherd has no control
over... He felt pretty sure I could talk to Forbes. If you don't like that, let me go on. What reason did Forbes have to hit me? He didn't know me from a load of coal. Somebody put him up to it.
Who?
Now, who do you think?
Shepherd, for some reason?
Shepherd was the only one who knew I was going right over there.
But why?
I don't know.
What would he gain?
My business for an X-ray.
Yeah, you're joking now.
I suppose I am, but I got a headache. I feel awful.
Oh, here. How about Mrs. Forbes?
Oh, here. Thanks. Oh, she seemed like a genuine enough person. Not sick the way I expected her to be. Someone slugged her recently. There was a bruise under one eye.
Shepard said her husband was an erratic, ruthless, violent man.
Well, look, I'm stubborn, Mr. Porter. I still think Shepard's been lying to me. If for no other reason than I think I know the breed.
What's all this got to do with the insurance application?
Well, that's another thing I don't know. Expense account item 5, $3, cab fare. To Dr. Shepard's one-story building to have my head x-rayed. Shepard was still out, but Miss Streeter did the honors. Almost in silence. Outside of sit still and hold it, nothing much was said.
Well, the picture's okay, Mr. Dollar. I looked at it. I didn't see anything wrong. Of course, the doctor will call you when he's had a chance to see it.
Swell.
You must have got quite a blow. That's a nasty bruise you have.
Oh, it's pretty good, all right. He swung his gun hard.
Well, the doctor will be back about mid-afternoon. He can call you at your hotel?
Yes.
Well, thank you for coming in.
I want to ask you a question, Miss Streeter.
Yes?
Are you in love with him?
What?
Are you in love with Dr. Shepard?
Well, that's rather my own business, isn't it? Unless, of course, in your investigation of whatever you're investigating, for some reason I'm under your scrutiny.
Well, I suppose it is, and I suppose I can take that to say yes.
I become rather angry with you, Mr. Dollar, but frankly, you seem rather ridiculous.
I suppose so. He's a liar, isn't he? I mean, Shepard. One more question. I told you on the phone a friend of Dr. Shepard's did this to my head. Now, did you ever ask me who that friend was? Well, I think you'd be curious about a thing like that, Miss Streeter.
I think I have a great deal of work to do, Mr. Dollar.
Expense account item 6, another $3, some more cab fare. This time back to my hotel where I picked up my rented car, filled it with gasoline, item 7, $5.30, and drove out to Pawtucket. At the home of Mrs. Clara Shepard, I explained my name and business to an elderly man who answered the door. He asked me to wait a moment, then returned and said Mrs. Shepard would see me. She was a bright-looking, gray-haired woman in her mid-60s, elegantly groomed and obviously well cared for. We went through the politenesses, then got down to business.
My son applied for $80,000 worth of life insurance and named me beneficiary.
That's about it.
I wonder what he's up to.
So do we.
You mean so do I. You don't trust anyone, do you, Mr. Dollar?
He said his life had been threatened. He told me he wanted to make certain you were well taken care of in case anything happened to him. He was lying, wasn't he?
I haven't seen him, talked to him. Even had a Christmas card from him in 3 years. Maybe he does worry about his poor old mother now and then. I'm flattered.
What you're saying about him isn't very flattering.
Oh, I don't think Charles ever thought much of me as a mother. Still doesn't, I'm sorry to admit. But then I don't think too much of him as a son. So there we are. Is it too early for a cocktail, Mr. Dollar?
How do you explain him already having a $20,000 policy on himself and wanting to kick it up to $100,000, you the beneficiary?
No explanation. That's why I suggested a cocktail. To my friends here, Charles is a successful doctor in Providence who calls me faithfully every day, sends me gifts, and is always assured that I am well and happy and occupied in my old age. I guess I like you, Mr. Dollar, perhaps because, with all your gruffness, you might be nice to your mother. No, Charles and I aren't close. Never have been. I can tell you this. I don't need his closeness, at least not in a financial way. If Charles were to die and I received $100,000, it would mean a rather difficult tax problem. If he were to die, part of me would die too. I'd like you to have just one martini with me. And then you may go, Mr. Dollar.
I had the one martini with the tall, stately woman who struggled against tears. It was an old struggle with her, increasingly difficult, I guess, as the years kept on. We talked no more of her son, or the insurance, or the threat on his life. I left there about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I drove back over to Providence and got to Dr. Shepard's office about 5:45. A broad-shouldered man in a tweed suit was in the reception room. He got to his feet when I walked in.
Dr. Shepard?
No. Don't I know you?
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Wait a minute. Yeah, your name is Dollar. You're an insurance investigator.
You're
Phil... Phil Crosby, yeah. Providence Police.
Well, I met you in New Hartford once. Oh, I didn't know you were down here.
Hey, you must be the one. Has Dr. Shepard called downtown about a threat in his life and said an insurance investigator had been slugged trying to help him out of it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, where is he?
I don't know.
I rang that buzzer. There's no one around at all. What's this all about?
Well, a man named Paul Forbes threatened the doctor's life. He slugged me. You got a pickup out on him yet?
No, not yet. Trying to pin the doctor down all day long. Been out on house calls, emergencies, everything else. We have to get his signature on a complaint.
Mm, I thought that was all taken care of by now.
Well, hello.
Hello. Hello, Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Miss Streeter. This is Phil Crosby from the police department.
Police?
I'd like to see Dr. Shepard, miss.
Is anything the matter?
Just want to see him.
Oh, goodness, he was here 10 minutes ago. He sent me over to the pharmacy to pick up these things. Oh.
What?
We had an emergency. 1213 Putnam Street.
Got a note from him?
Yes.
May I see it, please? No name on this, Miss Streeter. You recognize the address at all?
No, I don't. Doctor wouldn't take a random emergency unless it were very unusual.
This might be unusual, Phil.
This is down by the water. How bad off do you think Forbes is?
Mad, had a gun, plenty rough. I rode down in the police car with Phil Crosby. I had a feeling about the acuteness of that emergency. As a matter of fact, I had a feeling about the acuteness of everything that had happened that day, from the time a half-crazed man had slugged me with a gun. The feeling was heavier than ever when we hit the neighborhood.
Come on.
All right.
Wait.
Oh, what?
1213 Putnam Street. That'd have to be that vacant lot over there. This is 1240 here. The rest belongs to the warehouse.
Yeah. Phil.
Huh?
That car empty on the plates.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Dr. Shepard's car.
Motor's still warm.
Must be around here somewhere looking for the address.
That's a dead end there.
I better call in for some help. Fog's coming in if he's wandering around here.
Yeah. Phil Crosby went off to find a telephone and request help. I stood by Dr. Shepard's car, waiting and listening and smoking. Nothing happened. No one cried out. No guns went off. Then Crosby drove up in the police car.
Come on, report's in.
A report was in, all right. We drove 2 blocks down the street where a small, curious crowd of people had already gathered in the cheerless fog. A uniformed man from the Harbor Division was standing over what appeared to be a bundle of clothes lying in a heap. We bent over it, and Phil looked up at me with a question mark.
That Shepard, Johnny?
Yeah, that's him.
Yep, I'd say he's been dead less than half an hour.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
Phil Crosby, Dollar. Were you in bed?
No.
Good. Put on your coat and come on downtown.
Can't it wait till morning?
Nope. Want me to send somebody out to pick you up?
Are you talking about an arrest?
I might be, Dollar. Whatever I have to do to keep you around.
I'll make it under my own steam, pal.
15 minutes. Room 203 City Hall, okay?
I may take 16 minutes if I feel like it.
And maybe you'll need longer. I want a real good story about Paul Forbes. A better one than you've told so far.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Richard Porter, 480 Webster Boulevard, Providence, Rhode Island. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the Shepard matter. Swindle sheet item 7, 10 cents, one newspaper. It carried the story of Dr. Shepard's murder and told how his life had been threatened by Paul Forbes earlier in the week. Obviously, Dr. Charles Shepard had been lured to his death by Forbes, who had telephoned him, pretended to need a physician, waited until the victim appeared, and then shot him down. The police had an APB out for Paul Forbes. All parties concerned were notified. The deceased was survived by his mother, Mrs. Clara Shepard of Pawtucket. Amen.
Come right in, Dollar. Sit down.
There were about six people in Crosby's office, among them Richard Porter, who had hired me to investigate Shepard because of a suspicious insurance application. A uniformed officer from the Harbor Patrol who had discovered Shepard's body, and two other men from Crosby's staff. I told them how I had been hired, that I didn't believe all of Shepard's story about the threat on his life. I told them about Forbes slugging me for no apparent reason. I also mentioned the insurance matter had never been satisfactorily explained.
Well, it's never going to be explained as far as I can see, Dollar.
Oh, I'll find an explanation, Phil. You solve your murder and I'll do what I have
to do. We've got it solved. All we have to do is pick up Forbes, you know that.
I don't know anything. You get huffy with me on the phone and you start talking about arrest and I don't know anything.
You said that when you went to see Shepard yesterday morning, he waved a gun at you, a .32.
That's right.
It wasn't on his body. He knew Forbes hadn't been picked up. His life was in as much danger as ever. Why didn't he carry the gun?
You know, that's a pretty good question, Phil.
Yeah.
What else?
He allegedly went out on an emergency call tonight. No little black bag in his car. No little black bag by his body. What doctor goes out on any call without his bag?
Oh, I wouldn't let that worry me so much. I'd find out if it was an emergency. Or he knew who was going to meet him when he went out.
I thought you might have some ideas.
Have you talked to Mrs. Forbes?
Of course I've talked to her. She hasn't any idea where her husband might be hiding. She's sure he killed Dr. Shepard. That servant in the house is sure. He told me about Shepard being threatened by Forbes. Shepard told you about being threatened. Forbes slugged you, slugged Mrs. Forbes. Been running around town like a madman all day. But everything you say and every way you say it, it comes out Shepard was lying.
I did it on purpose. I wanted to worry you to death.
Well, every officer in this town has Forbes' description and the license of his car. We ought to get him before the night's out. He's the boy.
Good luck, Phil. He was a good policeman with a lot of doubts, and he was mad about them. And that's what it generally takes to get matters straightened out. I found Corrine Streeter at the morgue, standing beside the marble slab on which her late employer had been laid. She looked pale and wan in her stiff white uniform and blue nurse's cape. Her eyes were red with tears, but no sound escaped her. Then she looked up at me once, sighed, and started out of the place. Wait.
What now?
Well, I'd like to help you. I...
Can you help him? No. No, you can't. No one can.
I tried.
Who did it?
Well, the police say Paul Forbes shot him. It looks that way from all they can gather.
Over Mrs. Forbes?
Yes.
Oh. They're looking for him, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, you're something of a policeman, Mr. Dollar. Why aren't you out helping them or something?
Please, Miss Streeter, I know we've
I'll
had words.
I'll answer that question you asked me earlier today.
What?
You asked me if I loved Dr. Shepard. Yes, Mr. Dollar, I loved him. I loved him more than my whole life.
When she said that, and for some reason I don't know, I had a feeling that I was hearing the first bit of unembroidered truth I'd heard in 2 days. It didn't make me feel any better, but it did clear up something that had been in the back of my mind working its way to the front. Expense account item 8, $6.70. A steak, 3 martinis, and an order of sliced tomatoes. I finished eating at 2:30 in the morning. I really didn't want it, but I did want to sit down and do some thinking. After that, I climbed into my rented car and drove out to Dr. Shepard's office building. Expense account item 9, $5 even. Bribe for watchman.
I shouldn't be doing this, you know. Might lose my job over it. But since you're from the insurance company, I guess you're all right.
I sure appreciate it.
Too bad about Dr. Shepard. Nice fella.
Yeah, very nice.
What is it you think you'll find? Police been here till almost an hour ago, poking around.
You know if they found anything?
Oh, sure. Doctor's emergency kit. Heard him say he didn't take it with him when he went out in that last emergency.
Uh-huh. Well, I won't be long.
No, I'm going to come right in and watch you.
Shepard had been a thorough man, and from all evidence, he and Miss Streeter kept and operated an efficient file system in the office. However, he had kept no medical history of his prime patient, Pauline Forbes. As a matter of fact, in checking over both the patient's files and the card files, there was no evidence to indicate that Mrs. Forbes had ever been a patient of Shepard's. Which seemed strange in view of the fact that he told me he treated her for 14 months or better, and ended the treatment by advising her to divorce her husband. What's more, he had never mentioned that Paul Forbes had been one of his patients. But an entry dated some 2 years before disclosed the fact that Dr. Shepard had examined, treated, and discharged Paul Forbes as a patient. These two developments supplied me with all of the curiosity I'd need for a while. Nurse Corinne Streeter's home address was duly noted on Dr. Shepherd's phone book. Oakdale House, surprisingly enough, on Oakdale Street. Special rates for nurses. Room 205.
Yes? Oh, Mr. Dollar.
How do you feel?
Not too good, Mr. Dollar. I only got home about 15 minutes ago. They kept me down there pretty long. Then Dr. Shepherd's mother came. Do you want to come in?
Yeah, thanks.
It isn't much of a place, is it? I mean, I haven't straight...
Well, things like tonight aren't easy, I know, but... Look, Miss Streeter, I wish you'd help me and tell me who Dr. Shepherd was intending to marry.
Marry? Oh, I had no idea.
I was in the office a half an hour ago. He'd already made arrangements for a honeymoon, reservations on the Ile de France for next June. Any ideas?
Please go.
I can't. Look, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help. I mean, was it Mrs. Forbes?
What?
Look, Miss Streeter, things are all wrong about your doctor's death, about what happened before it. It'll all come out sooner or later.
Oh, I suppose it will. It's awful to say this, Mr. Dollar, but Mrs. Forbes was the only person doctors saw socially this last year. And she, of course, is married.
How'd they meet? When her husband was Dr. Shepherd's patient?
Yes, that's right. They became quite friendly.
Mrs. Forbes was never a patient, but Mr. Forbes was. Now, what can you tell me about Mr. Forbes?
Well, he came to see Dr. Shepherd a year or two ago and stopped coming in. I believe he requested a copy of his medical history to be sent to another doctor in Baltimore, I think it was.
Uh-huh. But Dr. Shepherd kept right on seeing Mrs. Forbes.
Yes.
Huh? All right. Do you have any idea why I was called in by the insurance broker?
At first, I didn't. But I don't understand what you're trying to do. The police want Mr. Forbes. What does it all mean?
It'll sicken you, Miss Streeter.
Well, tell me if you know. Tell me, please.
It means the wrong man was killed tonight. I was pretty sure of what I meant when I said that. And I was also pretty sure that Phil Crosby in the police department had recognized the setup. It so happened I had a head start in the way of information. And though it was 6 o'clock in the morning by that time, I decided to use it.
Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Mrs. Forbes. I'd like to come in.
What is it?
I should have tumbled to it right away, but your husband fit the part too well.
Look here. I've been through quite enough today with the police and all out looking for Paul and Dr. Shepherd being killed.
Stop looking pained and tired. I'm the guy that's tired. I'm the one who was going to be the star witness when the state tried Shepherd for killing your husband.
What?
Why not get a star witness for free? Why not make a suspicious insurance move so an investigator would be called in? An investigator who'd back up a self-defense plea for your doctor and get him off on justifiable homicide.
Get out of here! Get out of here, or I'll call the police!
And you and the doctor sail to France in June and live happily ever after? What's the matter? Wouldn't your husband give you a divorce?
Go ahead. If you say it's that way, Mr. Dollar, and you know everything, then it must have been that way.
Only it got fouled up. Your husband did shoot your boyfriend, after all, just as he threatened to.
Get out of here! You can't prove any of it, not one word of it!
Oh, you're right about that, Mrs. Forbes. I can't prove anything, not a thing. Shepard's dead, and they want your husband for it. He threatened Shepard, and they'll get him for it, and that's that. But you have something to live with for the rest of your life. Your doctor's gone, he'll never come back. Or maybe you can just have a cup of coffee and forget all about it.
Get out! Get out! Leave me alone! Leave me alone!
What?
Yeah, that's it, Phil. That's what was supposed to happen. Shepherd had it planted all over town how Forbes had threatened his life. He had witnesses. He had me, even. All he had to do was go out and shoot Forbes any place, any time. But Forbes got him first. Can people get by with this kind of thing in our courts of law? If and when you get your hands on Paul Forbes, will he have any kind of defense?
Oh, he'll get him, Dollar. The other I can't answer. What you just told me can't be proven. I don't see how a lawyer can do much for a guy who threatens another man's life and then finally guns him down, do you?
But it was Forbes who was the marked man all this time. He was supposed to die. If it could be proved that Forbes was a patsy, that the doctor intended to gun him down...
The judge and jury, Johnny. When we get Forbes, he'll be arraigned and indicted for first-degree murder. Don't worry about that part. The rest is up to the court, out of our hands. After all, we're pretty sure Forbes shot and killed Dr. Shepherd.
Hang up that phone, Dollar.
You still on the wire, Johnny?
Hang it up or I'll blow your head off!
Paul Forbes looked the part of a fugitive. His coat was ripped in several places. The knuckles on his left hand were torn and raw. There was mud on his shoes and pant legs. His eyes told the rest of the story. He was blazing mad. He had a gun. And he wasn't afraid to use it.
Now, here's our star to tell you about tomorrow's intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow I find out how hard it is to kill a lie. Sometimes you have to kill it twice. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, we've got quite a bit of a whodunit. Johnny has his own ideas in terms of the wife of the fugitive, but Johnny has been known to be wrong before. We also could suspect the nurse, and I'll even throw this in, the insurance guy. If the angle was indeed inciting an insurance investigation. But the truth will be revealed on Friday. So be sure and listen for part 5 of the Shepherd Matter. All right, now on to listener comments and feedback. And we have from Ruby, who writes in, just to let you know how much my husband and I enjoy your great detective shows. Johnny Dollar is your favorite. I'd like to make a donation, but I'm new to great detectives, and I get so involved in listening to you, I'm never prepared to write the website address. I'll get to it soon and keep doing what you're doing, and we think it's great. Well, thanks so much, Ruby, and I'll just email that address to her, and that is support.greatdetectives.net, but appreciate all of our listeners out there, and just encourage you to continue to enjoy the show, and we'll be back tomorrow with Nick Carter. Friday, we wrap up the Shepherd Matter. Meantime, send your comments to Box 13, greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter, Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.